Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we were talking about iPods. We were talking about Sony Walkmans. We were talking about transistor radios. What prompted that whole thing? Oh, yeah, it was St. Patrick's Day. It was Dropkick Murphys. It was God Save Ireland and Rosie O'Donnell and so much more. I got another throwback for you here, another throwback song for you. Yes, it was kind of, I always thought it was a hokey song. You remember the music video? It had like the cartoon cat in it. Paula Abdul, Opposites Attract. Was it late 80s or early 90s? I can't remember when that song came out. It was much longer ago than some of us 80s and 90s kids realize. But I thought of that song here earlier this morning. And well, I'll tell you why in a second. But here's the song. For those of you that don't know it, I'm going to ruin Caden's morning. He's like, oh, why do I have to listen to this? All right, Tim and Savage, you can admit it. You had that on your Sony Walkman back in the day, didn't you? Now, even if you didn't have the cassette tape, while you were scrolling around on that little, you know, scroll bar, you know, and switching from station to station, you might have listened to it on the FM dial back then. Anyway, I thought of that song, One Step Forward, Two Steps Back. It reminds me of the property tax conversation we had on the show yesterday, right here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. It's like, okay, I truly believe that the state legislature, as messy as the sausage making of the legislative process can be, I truly believe they will deliver a property tax relief in the form of a homestead exemption. But then, you know, you heard there's some cities that are saying, whoa, we're going to lose money if the state cuts our property taxes. And so it's like, okay, so here you go. Like, then the cities are going to try to raise your taxes even still, even if you get a property tax relief from the state. You know it's going to happen in places like Missoula. But then I saw another headline here just this morning. Let's see. I know our printer was giving us troubles, but this was an NBC Montana story. And in Bozeman, the schools in Bozeman, now maybe there's more to the story, but this was just my knee-jerk reaction to it. I see this story out of Bozeman where it's, you know, and you guys in Bozeman are getting hard hit by property taxes, of course. And in Bozeman, the schools are going to try to pass some more levies to get some more of your money, even though they're already making a lot more money because of all of the growth in Bozeman. It's never enough. And so I see this NBC Montana headline about more levies being proposed in Bozeman. And then, you know, Billings is saying, well, whoa, if the state gives property tax relief. And it's just like, here we go. One step forward once the state delivers real property tax relief. And then the cities and the schools and some of the counties are going to figure out a way to take two steps back.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see lingering clouds and some snow showers around the area early on today, followed by some sunshine, especially this afternoon. High temperatures will range from the upper 30s around 40 in Bozeman to 49 in the Billings area. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, low temperatures from the lower to middle 20s in most spots, partly sunny Saturday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
During a Senate Armed Services Subcommittee hearing Wednesday, there was a lot of discussion over the future of the Space Force and the challenges facing America's newest military branch. General Michael Guetlein is the Vice Chief of Space Operations.
What were once theoretical threats are now daily occurrences.
One of the biggest challenges for the Space Force is creating the Golden Dome missile shield proposed by President Trump. General Guetlein says,
it is a very bold vision, that's going to have a lot of complexity to it.
He adds an interesting reference from history to put that challenge into perspective.
The only time that I can think of in the history of the United States where we have gone after something this complex was the Manhattan Project.
He also says the Golden Dome is symbolic of the future of space.
The strategic choices we make today will determine whether space remains a domain for peace and progress or becomes a contested battleground for future conflict.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Oh, yeah, this was the quote of the day on Montana Talks. We were talking about how Rosie O'Donnell has self-deported to Ireland. That's right. God save Ireland. Rosie O'Donnell has self-deported to Ireland. Now, then the Irish Prime Minister was in the White House. Tim and Savage had the line of the week. He says, I was worried that just like Trump's been trying to force other countries to take their citizens back, that the Irish wanted us to take her back. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, we got some great Montana mining news. That's right. We've been saying it for a long time now. Long time. We've been saying, let's make mining in Montana great again. We got some great news out of the Trump administration and a statement from every single member of our Montana congressional delegation. Which is great to see, by the way. Good news for mining. Good news for coal miners. Thanks to this news out of the Trump administration. And all four members of our congressional delegation are praising the good news for our coal miners. Got a lot of Butte stuff I want to talk about here this morning, but let me just start right there. Because we know that there are a lot of folks in Butte who voted in support of Trump. They did not vote for Kamala Harris, yet some of them still voted for John Tester in the November election. I just want to remind those of you who still thought that John Tester is one of us or one of you, and it is a moderate Democrat. No, no, he's not like crazy Kamala. He's the exact same as crazy Kamala. What was he doing? You know, Butte is not only known as an Irish city, although apparently it's not the most Irish city in Montana, according to Ancestry data. Get to that story in a second here. But remember, it's the mining city. Great high-wage jobs thanks to mining. John Tester didn't do squat for miners in Montana. We saw what happened to our platinum and palladium miners at the Stillwater mine. We saw, you know, what happened and what the Biden regime and the liberal federal judges that people like John Tester put on the bench did to oil, gas, and coal, and you name it. Now we got good news for Montana mining here. I've got a headline in front of me right now. Governor Gianforte praises President Trump and Interior Secretary Burgum for supporting Montana mining. The Spring Creek mine expansion has now been approved by the Trump administration. Of course, this is big news for Bighorn County. You know, I remember when I was traveling the state doing all these events with Americans for Prosperity Montana last year, I remember running into a gentleman who lived south of Lodgegrass, Montana, Crow Nation Native American. And because of the attacks on Crow coal and just mining in general, like Spring Creek, for example, he was in Billings because he had to leave his hometown and come to the big city, as some people think of Billings, just to find work to feed his family. How pathetic is that? And yet, how many Native Americans voted for John Tester? And yet, how many you know, union Democrats voted for John Tester? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, anyway, it's just, I got to bring that up. I got to remind you of what things were like and what Donald Trump and the Republicans are now doing for mining jobs and for your jobs and and for Native American jobs as well. All right, but yeah, speaking of Butte, I heard my promo there about a story that I put on our Montana Talks website. I don't usually do the whole clickbait crap for the website where, you know, you get all these stupid junk emails in your inbox. Oh, here's the top 10 reasons Montana is this. Oh, here's the top blank in Montana. And none of it is actually very scientific. It's all kind of absurd, but you know, it's clickbait, so people put it on their websites. But this one, I was like, oh my goodness. You're telling me that Butte. Okay, so I get this list. What is the most Irish city in Montana? Town, right? And then apparently Montana is like, we're in the top 10 list here. Anyway, I couldn't even believe I was writing about this for our Montana Talks website. It just sounds blasphemous. An Irish marketing firm looked at Ancestry data to find out what is the most Irish city in every state. And it's not Butte, according to this Irish marketing firm. Now, you know, if we were to look at culture, if we were to look at pride, and we were to look at this Monday's St. Patrick's Day alone, Butte is not only the most Irish town in Montana, it's one of the most Irish towns in all of America. But according to an Irish marketing firm, there's actually a town in central Montana that is the most Irish town in Montana. Somebody could have some fun doing a fact check on this one. But what they looked at, they looked at census data from 2023 on the ancestry of residents in each U.S. state, comparing the total statewide populations with the number of people of Irish descent. They were then ranked from top to bottom to reveal the states with the highest percentage of cities with the highest percentage of ancestry. And I think Montana came in, I think we came in at number 9, if I remember right. We are in the top 10. But here we go. What did they specifically claim about Montana? Montana ranks 9th overall of the, 1.1 million people roughly living in the state. About 148,000 have Irish heritage, around 13.39% of the statewide population. Here you go. Which town is the most Irish city in Montana? Harlow, Montana. Harlowton, Montana is the state's most Irish city, according to this Irish marketing firm. Hey, speaking of Butte, Tommy O had a great write-up about the M&M sign being restored in Uptown Butte. It is such a great write-up with great photos of the M&M sign that even our friend Kelly in Glasgow up on the High Line in Northeast Montana said, hey, can I put that story in the buzz? Because everybody's got great memories of the M&M in Butte. So, yeah, great story. Check it out. It's all there, MontanaTalks.com. Back after the Farm and Ranch Report.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Here's the scenario. You believe that businesses who raise their prices, say for gasoline or water after a flood or natural disaster, are criminals and should be thrown in jail. Then you listen to an expert or take an economics class and hear why such anti-price gouging policies produce outcomes that are worse. And so you are no longer against letting prices go up, right? Well, not exactly. New research shows that people don't change their beliefs on strongly held convictions, even after hearing explanations about how policies they strongly believe in lead to worse outcomes. There's no question that people have less trust of experts, especially in the wake of COVID. But our sudden love affair with bad economic policies, like 100% tariffs, $25 an hour minimum wages, or directing government spending on favored industries, seem doomed to repeat some very painful lessons from economic history that those now distrusted experts have spent their professional lives learning how to avoid. I'm Patrick Bunkie.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he's standing by his longtime Chief of Staff Hayden Haynes. U.S. Capitol Police accused Haynes of backing his vehicle into a parked car at the Capitol just around midnight following President Trump's speech to a joint session of Congress last week. Police arrested Haynes for DUI. He was released with a citation to appear in court. Johnson presided over the joint session earlier in the evening. Haynes has been Johnson's Chief of Staff since 2017 when he was a rank-and-file member and moved with him to the Speaker's office when Johnson Johnson claimed the gavel in October 2023. Johnson spokesman Taylor Halsey said the following after the arrest, quote, "The speaker has known and worked closely with Hayden for nearly a decade and trusted him to serve as his chief of staff for his entire tenure in Congress. Because of this and Hayden's esteemed reputation among members and staff alike, the speaker has full faith and confidence in Hayden's ability to lead the speaker's office." Haynes previously worked for former Republican Louisiana Senator David Vitter from 2019 until 2016. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, following record-setting participation last year, the National Wheat Foundation is now accepting entries for its 10th annual yield contest, and a total of 28 national winners will be named this year as wheat growers strive for high yield, exceptional quality, increased profit while trying some new and innovative management strategies. The deadline to enter the contest in 2025 remains the same, May 15th for winter wheat categories and August 1st for spring wheat categories. Now, the new digital yield category is also being expanded again this year. Those raising dryland winter wheat in Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, and Wyoming may enter using digital technologies such as John Deere Operations Center, Climate Field View, or Bushel, along with data from their calibrated grain cart scales to submit their yield into the contest from a 20-acre selected area from a previously entered field. Meanwhile, dryland spring wheat growers in Minnesota, Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota also remain eligible to enter this pilot category. Now, growers who wish to enter will need to register on the National Wheat Foundation's contest website at wheatcontest.org. And good luck. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Planting season is approaching, and the Northern Pulse Growers Association reminds producers to consider making pulses part of their cropping decisions. Why plant pulses? Pulses offer both financial and agronomic benefits. They act as a natural fertilizer, fixing atmospheric nitrogen into the soil, reducing the need for nitrogen fertilizers, and continue fixing atmospheric nitrogen into the soil for the following crop. Additionally, pulses have a low carbon footprint, making them a sustainable choice for agriculture. Make pulses part of your crop rotation. Learn more at northernpulse.com.
Ranchers, it's time for the T4 Livestock Annual Scale Bustin' Bull Sale, Wednesday, March 19th, high noon at Sterling Livestock Commission in Sterling, Colorado. Selling our 61 registered Limflex and Red Angus Cavianese, performance-tested bulls that have been feed efficiency measured, semen-tested, and offer genomically enhanced EPDs. Call Tad at 970-590-3725 or visit dbauction.com for a catalog, sale updates, videos, and directions to the sale location. And don't forget to follow them on Facebook. Well, the egg industry has certainly been watched closely as rising egg prices and shortages in retail stores across the country have drawn negative attention to the industry. Emily Metz, president and CEO of the American Egg Board, says that the disruption in supply and rising prices are due to the continued impact of bird flu on our nation's poultry flocks. Now, demand is beginning to moderate, though, ahead of the Easter season, and egg prices are actually down by almost 22% in the wholesale market. And finally this morning, the National Western Stock Show proudly announces Wes Allison as its next president and chief executive officer, ushering in a new era of leadership as the organization prepares for its next phase of honoring its legacy and building its future. Allison spent nearly 23 years as president and CEO of the Hardo Texas Fair and Rodeo. Now, as the National Western Stock Show celebrates its 120th anniversary in 2026, they say he'll play a pivotal role in shaping its future while honoring the National Western Stock Show's rich Western heritage and spirit. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
All right, I was trying to read just a couple more headlines there during the Farm and Ranch Report. A little slow putting my headset back down, but let's see, what was the one that just caught my eye here? I think it was a Billings Gazette headline. I always like to give credit where credit's due.
where was it at here? It was talking about the Spring Creek mine. Let me scroll down a little bit further here. All right. Oh, here we go. The Fed's expansion of the Spring Creek coal mine will extend the mine's life by 16 years. Now, the Democrats will not be happy. The Republicans are very happy. Everyday Montanans who could care less about politics will also be very happy. Here you go. Here's part of the news. The Spring Creek coal mine is already the largest in Montana and will get the expansion it has been seeking for more than 20 years. Notice how they try to put a negative spin on it. What, see, they want you to think by that opening statement that, oh, my goodness, it's going to be massive. How much? Okay, folks in the Butte, Whitehall area get it. When a mine talks about expanding, when you mine the material out of this spot, you then, in order to keep the mine running, you have to mine the material from another spot. You're done mining over here. Now you mine over there. You know, it's kind of like you mowed the front lawn. Now you got to go to the backyard and mow the backyard. But see, the environmentalists and the liberal media always try to say, oh, they're trying to massively expand. No, this is how you keep the mine up and running. This is how you keep it from shutting down. Anyway, on Thursday, the Department of the Interior announced that the mine near Decker in eastern Montana's Bighorn County can expand into an area holding nearly 40 million tons of coal. The expansion extends the life of the mine, which employs as many as 280 full-time workers, by up to 16 years, the Interior Department said in a statement. So this is great news for Montanans, especially in Bighorn County, that hit some really rough patches here in the last 4 years of the Biden regime, with the Mexican drug cartels targeting the community and much more. Senator Steve Daines said this: the Spring Creek coal mine is a critical economic driver in Bighorn County and provides energy for the entire country. Biden bowed to radical environmentalists and crippled our coal production, but President Trump and Secretary Burgum are making good on their promises to unleash American energy. It is refreshing to have a president back in office that shares my goal of supporting Made in Montana energy. Newly elected Senator Tim Sheehy saying this as well. This America First common sense decision is huge news for Montana that will protect Montana jobs, including good paying union and tribal jobs. Did you hear that? Union jobs. Strengthen our economy and enrich rural communities over the long haul. Under President Trump's administration, we are unleashing our resource economy and making energy affordable, accessible, and reliable, securing a stronger future for Montana families. All right, more on that story here in 60 seconds. Up, Schumer caved. You guys heard the news update there. I should have started the show this morning with that news. We called his bluff. Schumer votes to keep government open. He said, quote, for Donald Trump, a shutdown would be a gift. That's exactly what we talked about yesterday in the 7 o'clock hour. We had David Noble in the house. We for the first time ever, we did a live simulcast on Spaces via X. We played around with that in the 7 o'clock hour just to see, you know, what kinks you'd need to work through. And that was a ton of fun. It was fun to see who all was joining in, because on the radio, we don't know who all's listening in, right? There's just people all over the place. It's crazy how many people listen to this show. And then you go on X, and when you do Spaces, you can see who's actually listening in, which is kind of fun. But we talked about it yesterday. We talked about this very thing yesterday. Chuck Schumer was trying to get Democrats to block a vote on a CR. It was going to be the Schumer shutdown. The Democrats were going to shut down the government. And so Chuck was trying to get a deal out of John Thune and the Republicans. Well, if you want us to keep the government open, you're going to have to give us A, B, C, and D. And good job. We called his bluff. They called his bluff. You called his bluff. We called his bluff. And Schumer was forced to back down. And now AOC is ticked. She's threatening to run for the Senate in primary, Chuck Schumer. Just great to see, isn't it? It is just great to see. Just heard that in the Fox News update. Okay, back to this, speaking of great to see news, Yeah, now we have the Trump administration supporting union jobs when the Biden tester regime destroyed union jobs. Governor Greg Gianforte, as I pointed out, also praised the news out of the Department of Interior, the Trump Interior Department, pointing out that the decision to allow for, for the Spring Creek mine expansion extends the mine's operational life by 16 years, enabling the production of 39.9 million tons of federal coal and supporting nearly 300 full-time jobs. The governor said, quote, thanks to the swift actions of President Donald J. Trump and Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, we are unleashing American-made energy to power Montana's future. Under former President Joe Biden, the federal government waged all-out war on our all-of-the-above energy strategy. Today's announcement is a victory for American energy independence and for lowering energy costs across the nation. It's great to have a president in the White House who stands with Montana and our miners. That gets me thinking here, too. This is big news, huge news. Let me go look at the Montana Television Network, the KTVQ website, since that is massive good news for the Billings area. Nope, no story on their website. Instead, it's more tariff war fear porn. They interviewed Canadians to try to undermine President Trump and then ignored the great news about 300 jobs in their own backyard.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, there's one more piece of mining news here that I want to share with you as well. Because, yeah, this is so important that we make mining in America great again, that we make mining in Montana great again. Mining has, of course, been under attack by the Democrats, by the Biden tester regime over the last 4 years in particular. But really, it's our timber industry. It's our natural resource industries. It's agriculture, it's mining. They've all been under attack by these far-left liberal judges on the federal bench here in Montana in particular. This was a headline actually from a couple of days ago. I mentioned the good news here regarding the Spring Creek mine in southeast Montana, Bighorn County. Great news there, the Spring Creek mine expansion approved by the Trump administration and being held by our entire congressional delegation. Folks, this is why elections matter. Your vote matters. Not just your vote for Donald J. Trump, but your vote for Tim Sheehy and Steve Daines before that and Ryan Zinke and Troy Downing. And look, I know people, oh, I vote for the person, I don't vote for the party. Oh, give me a break. There is such a stark divide right now. There is such a stark divide right now. If you say, well, I vote for the person, not for the party, what you're saying is, well, I'm gullible enough to fall for this crap that somebody who just says all the right things and whispers sweet nothings in your ear is, like John Fetterman, pretending to be a moderate. But then when it comes time to vote to protect women's sports, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. He votes with the rest of the radical, crazy Democrats to allow men into girls' locker rooms. And then they call you weird. They call you weird. Yeah, we'll get to that story at some point, too. You have this Democrat congressman who puts on a wig, puts on ladies' makeup, wears a women's dress. And then when he was referred to as Mr. by another congressman the other day, the Democrats get angry. They start screaming and shouting and yelling. And then that man who dresses up in women's clothes is calling the Republicans weird, saying that the Republicans are the weird ones. It's reminiscent of Tampon Tim Walz. Tampon Tim Walz was the guy who put tampons in the bathrooms in public schools for 8-year-old little boys. And he called you weird. He called J.D. Vance weird. They are the party of projection, and they are the party of insanity. Anyway, I digress. Back to the let's make mining great again. Because no matter how you identify, freaking pick up a shovel, man, and start making America great again. And let's start supporting jobs, and let's start bringing in more revenue instead of shipping everything overseas like has been the par for the course out of Washington. So Senator Steve Daines urged his colleagues in the U.S. Senate earlier this week to pass a bill, Senate Bill 362, to keep the Bull Mountains mine open. And anyway, he was talking about the mine south of Roundup, Montana, saying that it plays a crucial role in Montana's energy economy. The mine employs 250 people, high-paying jobs with good benefits. It generates over $90 million a year in state, local, and federal taxes and revenues. The mine is running out of permitted coal and might be forced to close. That's why he introduced Senate Bill 362. So, yeah, there you go. But again, the mine brings over $90 million a year in taxes and revenue. And yet the Democrats want it to shut down. The liberal judges want it to shut down. And then when the state will finally deliver some property tax relief out of this legislative session, like I believe they will do, the same Democrats and liberal judges that want to shut down this mine that generates $90 million a year will be the same Democrats and liberals saying, well, we need more money for schools, and we need more money for public buses. And it's public safety last. Yesterday, it was a great conversation with Billings City Council member Scott Aspenlighter when he joined us, because he's got a point that, like, okay, the state's gonna lower property taxes. I'm fully confident of that. But how does a city like Billings then, you know, adjust their budget if they automatically see a reduction? And in the past, the state has kind of shifted revenue to account for that short-term gap, right? So he's got a point there. But my I think the broader point, though, is that the people, the taxpayers all across Montana, need and deserve property tax relief. Look at all of the growth in these cities. Look at all of the growth in this state. School budgets have grown. City budgets have grown, and yet they still don't want you to get relief. And isn't it just interesting that some of these cities and counties who 2 years ago were blaming the state of Montana and blaming the governor because of property taxes, and now, and even though the governor, of course, delivered this beautiful property tax rebate that the Democrats voted against and the Republican legislators delivered, and the Democrats all voted against that property tax rebate check, right? And then now they're trying to deliver more permanent property tax relief in the form of this homestead exemption. And the Democrats will support that as well. But then Democrats in these cities will just raise taxes anyway. That's what's facing Missoula right now. I mean, Missoula, the city taxes alone went up by 16% in the last 2 years. And yet the liberal leftist mayor of Missoula still has a $4 million shortfall in their budget. They still can't set a budget in Missoula. There's never going to be enough money for these governments. And you can get, like I played the Paula Abdul Opposites Attract song earlier. And by the way, Tim and Savage heard it. He said, yeah, that was a golden era of music. Something like that. That's what they will do. You can take one step forward in Missoula when a Republican governor and a Republican-controlled legislature delivers property tax relief. But Missoula is going to figure out a way with their Democrat city council. There's one step. And then their Democrat county commissioners, there's two steps. The Republican state of Montana will deliver property tax relief, but you watch the Democrat-controlled city and county of Missoula take two steps back. One step forward, two steps back. But what about the city of Billings? David Noble joined us in the 7 o'clock hour of the show yesterday, and then afterwards he sent out a very interesting tweet on X. So I had a tipster message me. And by the way, to that tipster, if you want me to use your name, I would love to use your name and give you credit for it. I should text him back and see if he's okay with it, because, you know, he shares good information and sometimes may not want his name attached to it. And I'm all about protecting sources here, sources and methods. But anyway, he said, okay, so if the city is saying, well, if we lose $6 to $7 million in revenue because the state reduces property taxes, what are we going to do? We're going to have to cut public safety. The initial bid for a new city hall in that massive old federal building in downtown Billings, it's a big building, by the way, for those of you not in Billings, was $16 million. The final cost, the final bill for that city city building, $43 million. Where did they get the, somebody do the math. I know we've got somebody who studied engineering at MSU. You do the math. I went to UM for journalism school. I'm not going to do the math. But $16 million to $43 million. How did they find all that money? But now they're saying if the people of Montana get property tax relief, oh, we're going to cut public safety. Really? Anyway, but David Noble said this. He says, according to Grok, that's the AI platform embedded in X, Billings spends up to $8 million a year on the failed public Met transit deal. Empty buses running all the time. Easy way to save $8 million a year without touching police or fire. And then he sent another post on X here. Good. Caden did the math for us here. 43 minus 18. Actually, it was minus 16. Anyway, $25 million. But if you actually add the other two to it, so $27 million. Is that the difference? $27 million. Somehow they found $27 million for a new city hall building. But if you get property tax relief from the state, how are we ever going to find $6 or $7 million? David also said this. He said the city of Billings is talking about cutting police and fire if they lose $6 million in tax revenue. But not a single mention of cutting the empty public buses instead of police and fire. That's the problem with a lot of these city governments, is that, like, it's always public safety. Public safety should be first, but it's always public safety last. And we're going to fund all this other stuff in the meantime. And then how much do some of these city officials make in annual pay, by the way?
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Germany sells 8 German cars to our 1 car in Germany because of their 10% tariff and then their value-added tax or national sales tax, which makes it financially impossible. And if we sell X number of dairy products, various dairy products, to Canada, you know, after you sell a certain amount at a 5% tariff rate, then they go to 250%. And it's not free and fair trade. And, you know, the fact that the markets don't understand that Donald Trump is in the middle of a negotiation here is kind of hard to comprehend, that they have no curiosity about what the thinking of Donald Trump is in this. The thinking is to get them to the table and to either choose free or fair trade or reciprocal tariffs.
The Sean Hannity Show, from coast to coast, later today.
Hey, you exhausted every day? Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad, or homeschooling your kids, or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their products so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman, We'll see lingering clouds and some snow showers around the area early on today, followed by some sunshine, especially this afternoon. High temperatures will range from the upper 30s around 40 in Bozeman to 49 in the Billings area. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, low temperatures from the lower to middle 20s in most spots, partly sunny Saturday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Troy,
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Holy criminy. Okay, I got to jump right to this story here. First off, normally at this time of day, we would have a legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation. But because the legislature has been on their transmittal break this week, their halftime break, they've been pausing the legislative updates as well, but those legislative updates should resume starting Monday. So we've got a couple more minutes here at the end of the hour. But man, I was just looking at this story. I still haven't even scanned the Fox News radio headlines yet here, so I need to scan through that here. But you think you got all the time in the world to do show prep, and then before you know it, like, oh man, I better put the headset on. Here we go. Okay, so there's a story. There's an MSU exponent. Oh, this is from the MSU exponent, and it got picked up by the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. Montana State research in flux amid shifting federal funding cuts and freezes. So yesterday in the 8 o'clock hour, we had Jeremy Carl on the show. Jeremy Carl lives in Bozeman, but he's also a senior fellow at the Claremont Institute. We were talking about DOGE and university research dollars. And then we talked about the Bozeman immigration numbers as well, non-English speakers in the schools, et cetera. But when it comes to university research dollars, one of the things I said yesterday, one of the claims I made, right-wing radio talk show host Aaron Flint claims... That's the headline they could do if they wanted to do a story about what I said on the radio yesterday. What I claimed was this. I said, look, MSU and UM are going to continue to get a whole bunch of money. They're going to get millions and millions of dollars in research funds. And there's a lot of good research that's being done on both campuses. And they'll continue to be doing that. But the stupid stuff will get cut. So... of all of the millions and millions of dollars on the MSU campus, two of the grants, there's only two grants that are being cut right now. Now, one of them is the MSU Mountains and Plains Thriving Communities Collaborative. It was a $10 million grant from the EPA. Now, I don't know much about that one. I'll just say that. So that could be a good program, and it could be a pathetic program. I don't know. You tell me if you're familiar with it. But here's the deal. If that program is worthy of continuing to receive $10 million from the taxpayers, make your case to the congressional delegation. They'll make their case to the EPA, and boom, the program continues. But what was the other? Of only two grants that were apparently canceled, what was the other one? The $3 million Department of Defense grant for climate change research in Africa, called the Minerva program. That one really gets on my nerves. That gets on my nerves. They're giving $3 million to study climate change research in Africa. And that's that liberal professor we were telling you about who was protesting Trump and Musk and Doge on the MSU campus. And they were like, dude, you may not want to speak because you're just highlighting. What a waste of our money. DOD money that should be going to our troops so they can get, you know, maybe beef on their plate for lunch instead of lima beans and rice.
is going to the Minerva program to study climate change research in Africa. Hey, I'm studying climate change in Africa. Oh, tell us what you found. Well, I found out that there's parts of Africa that don't have a lot of water and it gets pretty hot. And it's always been that way. It's been that way for a long time. Oh, well, thanks for that update there, Bill. $3 million to study climate change research in Africa, for Pete's sake. And we're $36 trillion in debt. And that liberal professor at MSU, did he show up when miners and Keystone Pipeliners were being kicked to the curb? Did he show up? No. Oh, but he... Now, here's the thing. If his climate change research told the Biden regime what they didn't want to hear, do you think he'd still be getting his $3 million climate change research money? Of course not. They're funding it for political propaganda.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Here's the scenario. You believe that businesses who raise their prices, say for gasoline or water after a flood or natural disaster, are criminals and should be thrown in jail. Then you listen to an expert or take an economics class and hear why such anti-price gouging policies produce outcomes that are worse. And so you are no longer against letting prices go up, right? Well, not exactly. New research shows that people don't change their beliefs on strongly held convictions, even after hearing explanations about how policies they strongly believe in lead to worse outcomes. There's no question that people have less trust of experts, especially in the wake of COVID. But our sudden love affair with bad economic policies, like 100% tariffs, $25 an hour minimum wages, or directing government spending on favorite industries, seem doomed to repeat some very painful lessons from economic history that those now distrusted experts have spent their professional lives learning how to avoid. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.